Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Apostolic Bible Quizzing Podcast. We don't really have a set format yet because this is our first one. We don't know what's going to how it's going to turn out over time. You know, maybe things will change, but right now it's just going to be a casual conversation between myself, Philip Booker, and my brothers, some of my favorite people in the world. Why don't you guys just introduce yourselves real quick?
Since I'm the oldest, I'll go first. This is Joel Booker, and glad to be here today.
And
I'm Larry Booker, the youngest of the three Booker boys.
So we three were all in quizzing together, and I thought it would just be a fun way to both reminisce about quizzing and hopefully excite some people about quizzing, whether you're a coach, whether you're a quizzer, whether you're an ex-quizzer, and you've kind of stepped away from the scene for a while, but you know, you've always had that desire to get back involved. We're encouraging everybody to just pick up the ministry of Bible quizzing in whatever stage of life that you're at. And the way we're going to do that is just talk quizzing.
I love it.
That's exactly right, because we love it. We really do. We love quizzing. It's just a fun thing that we have done. So just to get the ball rolling, I'm going to kind of throw this out. So
okay.
As a quizzer, we had some fun times.
We had some fun times.
Really fun. And why don't we go around and just, what are some of the funnest times that pop in your head as a quizzer? I don't care if they're at the board or where they were.
I don't know if we should tell all of them.
Well, okay, we'll skip some of those. But
when you quiz with your brothers, you don't tell everything you know.
No, some stuff Dad doesn't need to find out. It's under the blood.
There's a lot of fun memories I had. I think about some of the road trips and just the fun camaraderie being with your team, traveling. We've joked about this. I don't even know if I should tell this, but I remember like there was just moments you're in the middle, out in the middle of nowhere, and you look behind you and there's a fellow quizzer. I mean, you're like hours from anywhere and he's eating a Taco Bell burrito that he had tucked away under the seat. Anyway, just stuff like that, random stuff. Our travels.
That was as a coach, right? You were a coach at that moment.
I think I was.
Me and Larry were fellow quizzers with that young man.
Fun stuff. Anyway, at the tournament itself, there was so many neat memories. I'll tell this, and then I want to obviously hear everybody. One of my neatest quiz moment memories was I was actually coaching. My brothers were quizzing, and it was at Nationals. They had worked so unbelievably hard. Philip was he's one of the best quizzers I've ever seen. And that year, he was ready to go. Their very first quiz, it went down to the last question, and Larry Andy hit it, and Philip was kind of the main quizzer at that point. I'll never forget. It was like a two-part cross or something. Anyway, one word was mentioned, the word Jehovah. Larry Andy hits it, and I'm thinking, if we lose this quiz, we're both going to kill him. And he aced it. It was beautiful. Anyway, that was just a neat quiz moment, but quizzing's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is nothing better than having more than one strong quizzer on your team. It takes it to a whole nother level. It's great to have a, you know, star quizzer, as I guess the saying is. But man, when you have a balanced team, like guys, I cannot help but go back to 1995. The three of us were quizzing. I'm going to return the favor here, Joel. You were absolutely the best quizzer in the nation that year.
Without a doubt.
Wow. And then,
how come you guys didn't tell me that then?
Because you were a brother.
You're still our brother.
I am kidding.
And then Larry and I both knew our material equally well, or maybe not to some of the higher end cross reference, but we all knew all the cross references.
Yes.
I think you were a little more disciplined than we were on the study part, but we could all answer every question, every quiz. And I remember you fouled out.
Yes.
In our championship quiz of Nationals.
I vaguely remember that.
Oh, I bet you remember it. But what a moment, because you fouled out, I believe, is a question 16 or 17. 17, we needed the last three?
I think so.
Yeah, so we're quizzing JS Mississippi.
Yep.
We were undefeated, so they needed to beat us once. And Joel, phenomenal quizzer. We had sat, we were kind of cold. We had sat there for a couple of days because those tournaments were long.
JS had won 10 in a row to come 10 quiz us.
10 in a row.
Yeah.
So they're on fire. And we need the last three to win. Joel hit 17. I can't remember the question. You might.
It's been blocked out of my memory, thankfully.
It's strange how some of them burn their way in, some have a way of just leaking out. But Larry ended up getting the next question. I think it was like a seven-part cross, or not a seven-part cross, but a locate the seven times that that
it was an amen.
I thought it was Selah.
Okay,
Psalms, right? Oh.
No, that was our doctrine year. I'm not. Galatians, Ephesians, but it was Galatians.
Oh, it was sure. Amen.
Yeah, I think it was amen.
That's right. So Larry hit that and got it. I don't remember what 18 was. We got it.
Philip got it.
So then it goes into question 20. Joel told us later, he said, if I had one national sitting on the bench because I fouled out, I would have killed you both. Luckily, I came through and saved his bacon because I got the next, or I hit the next and I missed it. Now that question I remember.
Wow.
Man, it's amazing how it was.
What was the question?
I think it was Philippians 3 or 4. How many men are mentioned? Who are they? How many women are mentioned? Who are they?
Okay.
And I got, for some reason, I got one of the men and women flipped. It was like, you know, one of them.
The Lord clouded your mind.
Oh, Joel was back there intercession, in deep intercession that I would miss that. But what a cool moment that, you know, they're in air quotes, star quizzer is out and we almost won nationals.
Yeah.
Against a red hot team.
Yeah.
Then the next quiz we did end up winning. So that's a fun memory. You know, they don't happen all that often. So how about you, Larry?
Yeah. So I don't have individual moments to stand out. Just the feelings of the fun we had on the tournament trips, the fun at the tournament. I do really appreciate being not the star quizzer on any team.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, you were.
You were phenomenal in 97. I watched him go to Oregon and by himself just mop up everybody.
That's not my point, though. My point was it's much more comfortable to be a number two or number three quizzer and just have the total freedom to hit whatever you want and not feel like the team is relying on you. But some of the times I do remember was spending time at Elder Morton's house during quiz tournament.
My goodness, I forgot about that.
Can you believe
that?
He let us stay at his house?
I can't believe it.
And he wasn't there most of the time, yep. So we just had the run of his house. Brother Morton, I'm sorry for whatever condition we left it in.
And just the fact that our quiz team was like the world record at inviting ourselves to other people's houses. I'm not sure we ever got a hotel. We always stayed at somebody's house. And
we did. I think that was John Schmidt's fault. That was our quiz coach.
Yep. Brother Schmidt, if you're listening to this.
We love you.
We have learned a lot. But some fun moments, some goofy moments. Okay, go ahead.
I'll say just one thing that I really enjoyed as a quizzer, and I had tried, but I was quizzing my future wife, and it was at a Bakersfield youth convention.
Were you guys dating at all?
We were talking.
Liking? Okay.
Definitely liking. And we needed 8 of the last 9 questions to win the game.
Wow.
Literally. And I got 8 of the next,
no,
of the last 9 questions and beat her. And she was very upset because she knew it was a meaningless game, probably in the loser's bracket. Neither of us finished very high. But that was the moment.
You showed dominance when it mattered.
Yes. So I credit that for
the successful
the fact
marriage.
That I'm married with 4 children today. worth studying.
You
got to
start it out right.
Fabulous. Oh my word. Well, what are some of the zany moments? I'll never forget. I think it was it Milwaukee or Des Moines Nationals? In the hotel with Bakersfield and Fresno.
Oh, wow. I think it was Louisville, Kentucky.
Was it Louisville?
I think so.
Well, things got wild. Not bad. Yeah. Not. I mean, we were never breaking stuff, but I remember seeing Matt Provencio running down the hallways with darts stuck on his glasses, pretending
with
he
Russ
got shot in both eyes.
Chasing him with a dart gun.
Yes, his coach.
running
past the receptionist as this guy just trying to figure out what is happening. Russ Johnson was one of our heroes back then. As far as he could make quizzing so much fun.
Yeah.
Just a blast. I remember we were riding. I don't remember why. There was like 3 of us caravanning, 3 teams. Maybe we were going to Oregon Extravaganza or something. We were tagging along, following up behind him. And he stopped at
overpass.
Stop.
Oh, okay.
Well, that too. Okay. No, that's a different story. We get up to the rest stop and he said, "Everybody, follow me." And he just like, so everybody just, "Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we're in trouble. We didn't know." And then he starts running an obstacle around, like through the gas station in one door and out the back door, jumping through trees, through the car wash. And we're like, "What is this man doing?" We were laughing our heads off as we're following him. And I still don't know why he did it.
Yeah.
I think he was just having a good time, just
fun memories.
Showing us how to have fun.
Fun memories.
Oh, one zany memory that stands out awesomely to me is Josh Hamill and his repeated imitation of an entire herd of swine.
The Legion.
Being full possessed Legion. By devils and throwing themselves into the sea. And there was a moment where he was inspired and in, like, getting off the elevator. While we were in the elevator, he's acting like the entire herd of swine on all fours, bouncing off the walls. He's so inspired by his performance. He busts into the hotel room, throws himself into the bathtub, turns the tap on his face, and is just sitting there squealing. And it was the most insane moment ever.
So you're probably wondering, why are we reliving these crazy moments? Because quizzing was so much fun and so much a part of our lives. I say this whenever we talk quizzing, but us three boys are pretty competitive. We enjoy sports, we enjoy basketball, we enjoy all those things. But our parents didn't have us play competitive sports.
Thank God.
Yeah. But the reason I'm bringing that up is we had our competitive outlet in Bible quizzing in the most healthy way possible with people we just like us that we loved. And we were able to be competitive over the scriptures. How much better is that than the alternative? So, Mom and Dad, you are wise people.
Yes.
We support you, and we are doing the same thing with our kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that was, you took the words out of my mouth. That was one of the neat things about quizzing for me was I was very competitive, and it was a great outlet. And I'll never forget the first time Lee Wilson came to Arroyo Grande. I was 7 years old. It was a youth service, and he did a quiz kickoff. And he had told us ahead of time, it was memorizing out of the book of Acts, which incidentally, we memorized the wrong material. It wasn't even in our material. Part of Acts 1 was not in the juniors. So anyway, we were so excited, and he started asking questions. We didn't have a buzzer system. We would just jump up and answer. And I remember as a 7-year-old jumping up, and I was bit. It was over. I was so fulfilled and excited. Anyway, it's been a neat deal.
Incredible. What a huge part of our childhood growing up. Without it, there's really not a lot of super big things that we did outside of quizzing. I mean, we had typical fun as kids, but man, that was such a large part. And if you take that out, there's not a whole lot left.
It was a huge part of our life.
It was. Any more memories? There's so many. Like at the quiz board, funny. I remember. I think it was down in Chula Vista. We were quizzing at the quiz board. It was us against Bakersfield, and it was a long contest. It was one of those. You know, Brother Les McElhaney, who is one of our heroes in quizzing.
Yeah, one of the best.
I don't respect anybody any more than him in quizzing. I mean, he's just one of the most phenomenal people I know. He took so much time for us.
Yeah, he's a genius. Oh,
we could make a whole podcast out of Les McElhaney.
Yeah.
Seriously. But he had a tendency to take a while on contests. He was very thorough.
Yes.
And so this one was dragging. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because of him they did the 10-minute rule. I think he did a self-imposed 10-minute rule, if I remember right.
I think so.
Like he did a timer. But this one had gone, it was pushing 10, probably longer. And we didn't even care. Like every quizzer at the board, we didn't even remember what the question was. Probably we didn't care who got it right or wrong. But I'm sitting next to Ryan Lopez from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
The guy's a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he leans over and says, "Hey, give you $10 if you burp in the mic." Well,
Tell me you didn't.
I did. So I made the quickest $10 I've ever made. And Brother McElhaney was not happy.
That's not the spirit of Bible quizzing.
No, I think he burned me with his laser eyes. Like he just stared up from
the judges.
Surprised
you didn't get a foul.
Oh, I don't remember the repercussions. I just remember I had $10.
That was the only repercussion you remember.
So bad. What a dumb memory. What a weird memory, huh?
But you remember it.
Any others? Any moving on?
I think that's it for those for me, Larry.
Well, we could go on and on, but let's kind of divulge a little bit more. So the question is, why do quizzers quiz? What will inspire a young person to spend the hours and hours and hours a year, probably hundreds of hours if you do it properly, to learn the Word of God that well? So what was your guys' motivation?
I'll be honest, the main motivation I had was just fun. It was being able to leave our fairly small town in Arroyo Grande, visit very fun and interesting people, go to places, the cities we went to, and the memories we made. It was it was one of the biggest expressions of, you know, just meeting people in the biggest ways of getting out of our small town for these fun events that, that we had. And so I also enjoyed the competition part of it. And I think we'll get into this later, but the if I had to distill like my number one motives for quizzing, number one would have been fun, and number two would have been competition.
Yeah.
You might have had those backwards, or like competition first and fun, but I was always a little more laid back.
So the reason I bring that up is some coaches, they know what the true motivation of quizzing is, which we all know is eternal. It's right. All about anything we can do to get these kids to learn the Word of God.
Yes.
So I've said this before, but if we could hand a Bible to every kid and say, go learn 500 verses and know they would do it, we would not have quizzing.
Right, right.
It's a program designed to make kids want to.
Yes.
And so all of this is just, and again, it's, I say this not being in any way smart aleck, but it's almost like a trick to get kids to learn the Word of God. It's sure. Window dressing.
Yeah.
For the real motive. But if you try to approach the kids with that,
right,
they're probably not going to lean in and say, okay, sign me up because of the eternal ramifications. They just don't see it. Now, looking back, we'll talk about this later. We do see that now. Oh, my goodness. Boy, do we ever. But growing up, you just don't see that. So how about you? What got you into quizzing initially?
Well,
you already said it. You already said it, but
yeah, but a lot of it was the competition. And but I think that's such a good point. Is there's nothing wrong with kids, I'm gonna just say it bluntly, joining quizzing for the wrong reasons, because the right reasons will follow.
That's what we do with Sunday school.
Yeah.
We tell them come to Sunday school and get talkies, and they'll go home with the Holy Ghost and talkies. I mean, that's the whole. Seriously, I mean, that's what you put on your flyer.
Yeah.
We advertise what gets them there.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And so for me, it began with the competition. It turned to fun, which included the people. I mean, to this day, some of my best friends, well, my brothers, but some of my best friends are people that were in quizzing, acquaintances, people that we met all across America, places we got to go to. I mean, we quizzed in Canada, many of the major cities across the country, and then all up and down California. I mean, start thinking California, you think Fresno, and I can almost name I can see all the rooms we quizzed in. Stockton, I can see the rooms that we quizzed in. Obviously, Bakersfield. What were some of the other Sacramento places like that? Oh, Bakersfield Youth Convention.
Chula Vista, Eureka.
Yeah, Eureka, yeah. Anyway, just so many.
Do you quiz in Modesto very often? I remember going there a couple times.
That was the first term I ever quizzed at. Was that, is it called Tuolumne Meadows, the old building they had way back in the day, 85, I think. And I got a trophy the first tournament. And so anyway, that was leading to that. I hate to say it, but the trophies definitely appealed.
Well, that's the whole reason we give them.
That's right.
They cost money, so I don't think we'd be giving them if they didn't mean anything to kids.
Yeah.
I had the same motivation as you all, but I have something that you guys haven't mentioned yet that I think is worth mentioning, okay. And that is there's a modern name for it called FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh, because wow. I remember walking by one year I didn't quiz. And I walked past practice,
yeah.
And they had an open door. And I remember it was Brother Hamill was doing practice.
Wow.
And all these kids were in there, and he had snacks for them. He had drinks. These kids were quizzing. And I remember walking by that door probably 10 times. And they had already been, you know, quizzing for a month or whatever. And I finally broke. Like, I couldn't take it anymore. I finally just
Give
ran in.
Give me chips.
Just, here I am. Yeah, yeah, verse cards in one hand, potato chips in the other. Sign me up. But really, that was my motivation that year, yeah. Is because I felt like I was the only one there that wasn't having the fun that everybody else was. Like the competition, I remember many times just watching you quiz. I was on your team sitting there, and I was happy to be there. I wasn't hitting the buzzer. I had no intention to.
Wow.
I might hit rereads. You know, I sometimes knew my verses, but that was not my motivation. It was not competition. And I can tell you the moment it happened. Now, I will not tell you the team it happened against.
I remember.
Well, they did something. Let's just say that it wasn't in the
ethos of quizzing.
Yes,
the spirit of quizzing.
Yeah, the spirit of quizzing. That's what I was looking. It wasn't. Yeah, it was something a little bit contrary, where it made me so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was furious, but there's nothing you can do as a quizzer. And what are you going to do? Stand up in point of order as a quizzer? Yeah. And they had done something that it just wasn't cool.
Real clean competition.
You know, yeah. And I remember thinking, you're going to pay for that. I know, this is so pitiful.
This is so spiritual. We're talking about white kids quiz, okay?
White kids quiz. And I remember getting, I don't remember how many, four or five of the next few questions, and just thinking, I got him.
I love the word of God.
And from then on, but it really did trigger something. It was the weirdest thing that I was like, I can actually do this. Yes. I don't have to just watch Joel quiz. I can quiz with him. And I think we got first and second highest score in that tournament.
I remember
for the first time ever.
It's like
that was in Aurora Grande.
I remember.
Yeah, that was a trip. So that's why we quizzed as a kid. But why do we believe in quizzing now? You're pastor of the church, Pastor Joel, and Larry, you're a coach. I've been involved in an official level in the Apostolic Bible Quizzing for a while. So why? Here we are 20 or 30 years later.
Man,
it's got to be pushing 30.
84 was the first year I quizzed.
Yeah. Oh, 84.
That's 40 years, guys.
Goodness, you're old.
Wow. Well, hello. You're 2 years younger. Don't you ever forget it.
So here we are 30 to 40 years later, and we're still heavily involved in quizzing, mm-hmm. or in your case, heavily supportive of it. You're not directly involved in it. You just pulled it to a direction. Yeah. Yes, you are then. Yeah. So why? Why?
Well, I want to hear from you. You both are much more involved than I, but I believe in quizzing big time. So I could do it from a parent perspective. I tell my kids, and this is probably anathema maranatha to somebody, but I tell them I don't want them to quit. I really don't. I'm not trying to make a quitter. But even if you just start the year and learn 30 verses, you've learned 30 verses. And how many different programs could you get to get your kid to learn 30 verses? If they finish the year.
You're lucky to learn one memory verse a week in something like Sunday school.
Right.
You know, it's a different world.
As opposed to finishing the year and learn 400 or 500 verses. So as a parent, it's a no-brainer. As a pastor, we've lived long enough to see the implications of people, leaders that grow up, that are raised up, that were involved in quizzing, and how effective they are. It's mind-boggling. Sometimes in church, Larry, who is Larry and Sarah, who are over our quiz program, will have everybody stand that's ever been involved in quizzing in any way. It's mind-boggling in our church, and I know that our church is not unique like that. So many of our leaders, from Bishopess Booker, meaning Sister Booker, my mom, we're still trying to figure out how to call a bishop's wife. There's an official title out there somewhere. My mom, Booker.
Duchess.
She's been in it, to Pastor Carl Brown of our Spanish work, very involved on the national level. Gavin Barrier, national quizzer. They got, I know, in the top 4 or 5 in the nation. He's our youth pastor to both my brothers, and it just goes from all across the church. Anyway, all that to say, it produces leaders, people that are spiritual. It keeps people in church. It's a great, great program. I believe in it more now than I did when I was just looking for a trophy.
Yeah, and so my perspective as a coach has been really seeing the development of the kids. Well, first what I think is really interesting is the kind of young people that quizzing appeals to. It's not always the most, you know, personable in the church or the ones that you might look at and just say like, hey, you know, they're going to be successful in any particular ministry. And just to see somebody find the ministry, in this case for them, it could be the competition or whatever their motivates them, but find something they can excel at.
Yes.
Really has really changed them.
Yes.
And I know this is, you know, of course I'm not backing away from any of the spiritual and biblical preparation you get from Bible quizzing, but just watching them grow as a person, being more comfortable and assertive in public speaking roles and stuff like that.
It's huge.
It's an awesome thing. And then combined it with, you know, the ministry of quizzing, and it truly is a ministry, watching some of these that were maybe on the edge just grow more and more as quizzers and as Christians. And it's literally visible. You know, you can see a change in somebody after 4 or 5 years of quizzing. And, you know, if for no other reason, as a coach, I would encourage every pastor to start a Bible quiz program. And then I believe in quizzing enough that I'm the quiz parent again. All of my kids are involved in quizzing, and we do our best because I want to see those changes and that kind of blessing on my kids.
Absolutely. And there was this statistic that has been bandied about through quizzing. Honestly, nobody really knows where it came from or how correct it is.
Yeah.
It's something like 80% of quizzers that were in quizzing 3 years or more will remain in quizzing for the rest of their life, or remain in church, mm-hmm. living for God for the rest of their lives. And those that walk away, another 15% or so come back. Like it's a crazy percentage of those that do not end up living for God.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how true that is. I know they were redoing this statistic. They were actually going through quizzers and finding out. In fact, they asked me about it. I don't know if they called you guys, but so they were just kind of checking, you know, what's your role in the church mm-hmm. and all that. So they were following up on a certain year, I think it was.
Wow.
And so everybody that was involved that year. So I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. But what I do know are some stories I've heard over the last couple of months. In fact, Pastor, you and I got a text from a pastor.
Wow.
And before we got that, I'd heard a couple stories like this. It was a young person that was involved in quizzing for several years, and they backslid. They got away from church. Mm-hmm. They were one of those percentage that got away, right?
Right.
Well, he's out of church, but his brother is still in church. And after a while, he finally called his brother. He said, "I can't get these verses out of my head."
Wow.
I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'll wake up in the middle of the night." He said, "All I can remember is the verses."
Wow.
The verses. They keep playing in my head. And it was almost like a panic note in his voice. He said, I can't get rid of the verses.
Wow.
Well, and then we got a text from Brother Wells, or I think it was, and a very similar story with another young person that walked away and just said, "I can't get away from
his wife would hear him quoting verses
yes!
in his sleep.
Waking up, or she would wake up and hear this backslidden young man quoting verses that he had learned.
Yes.
He couldn't shake
them. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." When it's there, those scriptures are there.
Yeah. Yeah, none of his steps shall slide. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So it's such a good prevention against backsliding. Yeah. But I've said this as well. It's like a hook, you know, like a hook in the jaw of a fish. You know, you hook them and they can run, but the hook's not going anywhere and they're just going to be reeled back in.
Yeah.
So what an incredible testimony to the power of the Word of God. So I believe in this 1,000%. Otherwise, we wouldn't devote the time and effort that we do. In fact, Brother Larry, you have been generating some technology for Bible quizzing, and this is, we're not promoting, we're not trying to sell anything. I just want to say that you have developed a Bible quiz buzzer because you have a unique set of skills, and you also have a passion for quizzing, and those two have merged, and you've developed a really cool piece of tech.
My background is as a embedded systems software developer. And so,
what's that? Is that a thing?
It is a thing. Embedded systems are usually headless little things. Like, imagine what the computers are in a gas pump or your automobile.
Got
that
it.
Kind of stuff, low level. But that does
apply
pretty well.
I always wondered what you did.
So yeah, as
people just sit there and throw money at him.
Yeah,
he just catches it with buckets.
But it has been fun just to take something that's my hobby and then apply it to Bible quizzing. And of course, we just at the beginning, it was just kind of a fun challenge to kind of do in your garage, little background project, backroom project to keep myself interested, and then bringing them to our quiz practices and just playing with them and realizing, hey, this is not a bad little product. So yeah, we've started making them and we've done fairly well on sales. We're selling exactly as many as we can build, which is a good. And right now, all of our profits are going to our building fund. So
yeah, and thankfully,
kind of a win-win-win. With
our nephew is helping us now, so he's coming over about once a week and helping us knock those out. But you've also developed some verse card software. There's just some neat new resources that, man, we would have just loved when we were young.
Yeah, absolutely,
would have been incredible.
It's amazing. When I go into your garage and see the assembly line, what you guys are producing. Anyway, I hate to say it, but my brothers are brilliant.
Larry is brilliant.
Okay.
I am the hands that put together what a brilliant mind designed. So the next question is, how has quizzing helped you in later life? So I know we say we still believe in it, but what are some real life things that you have that you can see now as a benefit?
I'd say, as I mentioned in like the young men I see in quizzing, in my own life, just confidence. I mean, yes. Confidence to talk to people.
I think that I'm referring to us personally. Okay. Right. Okay. Now.
Then specifically, let's be very specific. Confidence to meet new people, mm-hmm. and just this is something that's kind of maybe underrepresented. But when you're in a room of Bible quizzers, meeting somebody in that room is they're not a stranger. You have so much in common with the Bible quizzing background, with the ethos. And my point with that is you're getting used to meeting people, making new friends, having conversations, and that kind of confidence, honestly, that you build from that and from being in front of people and being in front of crowds has definitely helped me. In my job, I've given multiple presentations, and you know, none of them have filled me with kind of the dread when you're quizzing on the national stage or the regional or wow. district final
That's
stage.
That's really something.
And that kind of terror that you've already wow. come through wow. is something that you've already overcome. You know you can get through it. And you this know is you can still perform in it.
This is not a pat you on the back session, but Larry's really operating at high levels in corporate America and software programming. For you to say that, that's a trip. that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I hope I didn't make Bible quizzing sound terrifying. But on the plus side, once you've gone through it and learned that you can navigate, you can do well in those situations. Yeah. If there's anything higher pressure than being, you know, down by 20 points, you need the last question. You need to perform under pressure. And there's a lot of eyes watching you.
Wow.
Then I think that's a great thing. And that's like the psychological part of it. Obviously,
and I think whether or not you answer the question right or not, if you miss it, you realize, you know what? Life went on. Because you're going to flop in life. Mm-hmm. And then if you get it, it builds confidence for those moments. Either way, you win. I think sometimes we think, you know, you have to get the question to build confidence. No. You realize life goes on. One of the best things quizzing does is I learned to lose. And not that I hadn't lost before. Yes, I learned to lose with grace.
Both of these things are so awesome to me. I thought for sure it was going, I mean, I know it will get here, about the verses and how you utilize them in your ministry. For these points to come up is so, these are just like these side effects, these little bonuses that you get from quizzing that aren't even talked about much. That's really good, Larry.
Can I add one to that?
Please.
It's so when I went to college, I remember seeing guys, you know, different classes or whatever. They would say a chemistry class. They would have a stack of flashcards, maybe 20 or 30, and they're just agonizing. I remember thinking, it wasn't an arrogant thought, but it was thinking, wow. I mean, we've memorized 500 verses word perfect, and not with just like a single, you know, chemical compound on one side or whatever. And it made you think, there was just a confidence. If college, worst case, if we had enough time, and this is not because, it's just because the work ethic that you learn, you could memorize a chapter of the textbook, literally memorize the textbook. And it lets you know that what the human capability is with just some daily small sacrifices and commitment over time, what it produces. Anyway, that was beautiful for me in college. I was like, it was very, very confidence building.
That is so good. what about the verses themselves? obviously you're pastor, you probably maybe every now and then, once or twice, you might use a verse that you memorized.
Every message.
Do you have any guess how many verses you've learned? You've probably done some math on it.
10 years, I quizzed, and
how many of those were juniors, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I did some rough math, and I did 8 years, and it was between 3,500 and 4,000.
Yeah.
So,
I was guessing somewhere around 4,000, 5,000. I don't think that's right. 10 times 500 would be 5,000, and it wasn't 500 every year.
Okay, well, maybe my math's a little off. You know, I always round up a little bit.
Yeah, several thousand.
Incredible.
But there's nothing, especially when I first started preaching, I relied on it even more than I did now, because I just there were verses were already there. I still quote them in every message. But it was like they were there. And when you would quote a verse when you're preaching, I don't know how to describe it. I think there's some quizzers out there that will, that have become preachers, that will identify. There's an anointing when you quote a verse, especially when you quote it hundreds of times.
Wow.
And it just, man, it's just there.
You know what's cool to me is when it's not in your notes, mm-hmm. you didn't plan on it, you didn't even think this verse fit, and it pops in.
Yes.
So you'll be talking, maybe teaching Sunday school or whatever, and yeah. for me. And all of a sudden there's a verse that's there and it fits the moment. It wasn't planned. It's not in your, and you don't even know you remembered it. And all of a sudden it just comes out.
It's beautiful.
It's so cool. It is just,
it's an anointed word. It's a living word, and it's God's word. And boy, there's nothing like, I love hearing people when they're preaching that quote scripture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. Nothing like
in
it.
In Bible studies, I mean, it's not just preaching. In Bible studies all the time. I honestly, when I preach on the oneness of God, sometimes I almost have to try to make myself go away from the scriptures that we learned in Pentecostal doctrine.
I can see that.
Because it's so easy to travel down the path. I mean, I can literally, why I believe the word of God is true, or inspiration of scripture, I can almost start and see the passages of Psalm 19, 7 through 10, and
I want to mention something on that. Mm-hmm. I told Larry this a while back, but I was reading something about helping quizzers learn verses. Mm-hmm. And quizzers, if you listen to this, because I think this may help you. Learning from the same page every single time, mm-hmm. it locks in not just the verse, but the position on the page.
Yeah.
Because you're right, that Pentecostal doctrine, I can literally see it in my head. Exodus 24:12 is top yeah. left, right underneath it, Deuteronomy 6 through 9. Yeah. Top right is Psalms 19, 7 through 10. Yeah. Underneath it was, I know it goes into the next one. I think Exodus 34:27, Deuteronomy 27:3. Yeah. Oh, next page, top right, Joshua 24:26, 1 Samuel 10:25, Jeremiah 31. I can literally see that. I can see the page.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that if I learned off verse cards.
Man, that's a good point.
You know, it's, and I'm not saying verse cards aren't the best review method out there. They are.
They are.
But as far as raw learning, I literally want to go back to that page. In fact, I found it. I found a binder that awesome. Has that exact layout, and that's what I'm reading.
You know, we sell that in our. Was this legal to say? In our bookstore.
Do we really?
We had it in there, yeah.
What is it?
The Pentecostal doctrine. I wanted our church to have it. And so it was like for a buck, just so they could pick it up, because it's so beautifully laid out in scripture.
That's incredible. So yeah, I'm going back and relearning it. I'm going through the verse cards. And,
beautiful.
Yeah, just plowing through it. But I can see them in my brain exactly on the paper. So quizzers, I think that may help you learn from the same formatted page every single time. And when you're quoting, I don't know, like Psalms chapter 12, verse 6.
Yes.
Second page, very bottom, subsection, oh. top. I can see it. I can yeah. see where that verse is.
Yeah.
And the next page, you flip it over and it starts talking about, you know, all the Psalms verses, Psalms 119. It's just, I can see them in my head.
I love it.
Just incredible. So I think that's very helpful. But yeah, like what you said about forcing yourself to depart from the verses that you've learned, just because right. there's a bigger Bible out there than just what you've memorized, yes, yes. is it really, man, mm-hmm. I've heard some people that they're talking about the oneness. I'm like, hey, that you're not allowed to use that verse. wasn't in our, yeah. our section of study.
Yeah.
No, not really, of course.
Or you can tell who was a Bible quizzer.
Yes, exactly
when
right.
When they start quoting in a certain order.
Exactly right. Now, we are running a little tight on time. Pastor's got like 8 minutes and he's got a jam. But what about your most effective learning techniques or learning tips? Maybe it's like get yourself in this certain situation, this certain type of learning environment. What do you guys got? What worked best for you guys?
This is something that's so simple, it's kind of silly, and that is basically to review the reverse cards immediately after you learn them. And I know this sounds kind of silly, but a lot of times people will check the box, I learned verses today, when they've gone through them just to the level that they can recite them once. Right. They move on to the next verse, and that verse is literally out of sight, out of mind. I do this with my kids, and that is when you learn a verse, quote that verse. When you learn the next verse, quote that verse, go back, quote the previous verse. And I know it just sounds bizarre, but when you get to the end of even a session of 5 or 10 verses, mm-hmm. you will know all 10 verses. If you go just the minimum, that's the way to get verses to stick on the review session.
Makes you wonder what is literally happening physically in your brain. Like just learning a verse and then going to the next one without reviewing. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to a certain part of the brain that's like temporary memory, because you are so right. If you don't review them all together at the end, the next day they're gone.
Yep.
That is so powerful. The idea of just review in general, you know, like I've said this many times when we're teaching, I keep going back here. Sorry guys. Sunday school memory verse, right? You learn it one time, those kids can quote it perfectly. They leave the classroom. By the next day, they probably forgot it.
Wow.
2 days later, it's gone. The next week, you're doing a different memory verse. They don't remember last week. And so we've started doing a full month where we're doing it 4 times, and it's a lot better. But these Bible quizzers are not quoting it once or twice. They're quoting it literally hundreds, probably thousands
yes.
of times. And I think you're exactly right, where it is actually like changing. I read a deal, something about it's physically changing your brain.
Neuropaths.
Yes, it's creating neuropaths. And that's why 30, 40 years later,
yeah.
these verses, some of them that we have not tried to learn again, 40 years later, if someone started quoting the verse, yeah. I'd be willing to bet many of them we could finish.
Right.
Well, one of the things I find really interesting about that is hearing a verse misquoted.
Oh, man. Does that fire you up like it does me?
No.
It grits.
It does.
Like sand in the shoe.
And even, this is terrible, but when they're reading from the Bible and they get it wrong, and it's a verse that we've memorized, it's like, we've memorized it word for word. You can
it's not
read
exceedingly
it word for word.
Abundantly. Yeah. It's exceeding. There's no L-Y there.
Yeah, adverb, yeah. not adjective.
They'll pour out of my spirit upon
this
all flesh.
Is probably controversial, but when they're reading without telling you from something other than KJV.
Oh.
hey, what's going on here?
Heresy. That's right. So most effective learning technique. I'm sure, I don't remember now. We probably started off doing the typical repeated over and over until your brain hurts and then you mm-hmm. finally learn it. But it gets to the point in quizzing, and I want to encourage some quizzers out there. If you're struggling learning a verse, just stick to it. Whatever method works for you, if that's writing it down, singing it, I don't care what it is. Just gut it out, grind it, grit it, grit your teeth and do it.
Till you learn it.
The next year, it's going to be way easier half the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
By 4 or 5 years in, your brain has figured out how to do this.
It's amazing.
You literally can read it yeah. a couple of times and you know it.
It's a muscle that even progresses through the year, I believe. It progresses through the year. And so like even the idea of, this is something I don't really understand. And I remember like if you didn't review for a while, you would go back and all the verses are cloudy in your mind. You would review a few of them and the others would start to come back.
The ones you hadn't touched. That is so true.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Yep.
It happens.
Yeah. So anyway, Al.
So I don't have a most effective learning technique necessarily, except to say there were some verses that we turned into a song when we were little kids, being stupid.
Yeah.
I remember those verses perfectly, yeah. and the verse before and after are fuzzy.
Wow.
Real fuzzy, like to the point where maybe if you started, I might be able to finish it, but I sure can't bring it up. But man, we did some songs out of the Book of Mark, just being silly. You know, about the farmer sowing the seed, right? Just being being goofballs, right? Mm-hmm. I will never forget those verses. I just can't. I can't. There's something in that. So if there's a verse, if you sing them all, maybe eventually they might all start blending. But if you have one that you really struggle
with. This is a random technique, and I don't think you should just start with this. But I do remember Brother McElhaney, Les McElhaney, saying, you know what, when you get to a larger tournament, especially nationals, there's so many people coming in and out. We used to have a youth convention in Bakersfield. I mean, they would have you start before service and you would have hundreds, even thousands of young people coming in while you're quizzing. So easy to get distracted. He would have us practice sometimes while listening to the radio cranked. If you can focus through that and quote your verses, it's like the level of focus, like a laser beam, nothing can distract you. So anyway, that was just kind of an interesting technique that he introduced to us.
He was so cool. I remember like we were going to go back east, 2 or 3 hours time change. And he said, all right, as of this date, you need to start waking up early.
Which was tough for teenagers. Get up like 3 hours early.
He said, you might be quizzing at 9 a.m. That's 6 a.m. your time.
Yep.
You need to be up by 5 a.m. to make sure that you're ready.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I never would have thought of that. Never in a million years. Even now, yeah. I don't consider it much. But Les was a brilliant man.
He was.
All right. Anything else on that might be helpful for anybody? Okay. Last thing, and we're about done here. We're not going to drag this out needlessly. But something you wished you had known then, or as a quizzer, that you now know. And I don't even know what I meant by that, quite frankly. I just kind of jotted it down. What is something that you wish as a quizzer? The thing that popped into my head, the mm-hmm. reason I really wrote it, was there were some years I didn't quiz that I could have quizzed. Mm-hmm. Not just that year that I walked back and forth in front of the practice room and finally broke. There were some years that I just didn't. And if I knew now what I knew then, or excuse me, if I knew then what I knew now, mm-hmm. I would never have passed up a year.
Yeah,
never would have. I mean, what did I substitute it with? Those hours of study, I probably filled with something dingy.
Yeah.
You know, making, I don't know, playing outside or
riding
some
quads.
Silly video game or something. Who knows? Who mm-hmm. knows? What a dumb substitute.
That's such a good answer. I my first year of seniors, I was 12 years old, and I got it in my head. You know, life's changing. I really need to I don't know, what's the word? Basically, be good with my time. I don't have enough for all the heavy responsibilities of hitting
a 12-year-old.
Of a 12-year-old, right. You know how life is just. And so I set out of quizzing. It was the book of Romans. And now today I think I could have memorized Paul's magnum opus, the his crown jewel of the epistles. And I didn't. And honestly, I still could at 47, I guess. Unless God helps me, I probably never will. It's just a tragedy.
That is such a powerful thing right there. That quizzers not only, we make it fun, we make it one of them, but they have something that we don't. And that's time. Mm-hmm. They have the time to put in.
Yeah, somebody said you will never have less responsibility or... more time than you do today. It never gets, not that I've seen, never gets less. Yeah.
So when I hear young people, especially like I mean single digit age and early double digits, and they're telling me how busy they are, they're too busy for quizzing. I want to do what Les used to do to us.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let's sit down. What time do you wake up? What time do you eat breakfast? What time do you go to school?
Yeah.
And he'd work our way through the day, and he would find blocks.
He would actually do
hours.
How many hours in a day? 24 times 7, 168 hours. And then he would start there. How long you want to sleep a night?
Brutal.
And we would always kind of fudge it, and he would still.
12, 13, 15 hours. By the time we were done, you still had like 40 unaccounted hours, despite even saying, I need hours for playtime.
Sure.
We will. Plug that in there. Here's 8 hours.
Yeah, and I know you're praying 7 hours a day at 8 years old. And we still had time.
And you just realize nobody's too busy.
There's
nobody's
no excuses.
Too busy. Now when you're older, you're gonna be running tight on time, and so the ability to do what you wanted to do or what you should have done when you were young is probably never gonna happen.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wow. Anything else you guys want to add? We're not gonna drag this out. I think we're wrapping it up.
Maybe one thing I wish I had learned was like some of the habits I was going to develop back then will carry over toward life.
Wow.
So developing discipline about doing Bible quizzing,
wow.
Developing discipline about studying God's word helped in college. It helps for my job.
That's good.
It helps. It's just something it's hard to, I hate to be the anti-spiritual one with all of these, but there's so many things outside just the knowledge of God's word that the program does.
I think
for people.
That's spiritual stuff too. God's interested in the whole man. So
yeah.
Yeah. Good. We've said this before. You don't have to be intelligent to be in quizzing.
No.
But it will make you more intelligent.
Yeah.
You don't have to, and you can fill in the blank on all this stuff. You don't have to be competitive, but it will make you competitive. You don't have to know how to memorize
right.
to join quizzing, but you'll know how when you're done. You don't have to be disciplined. You don't have to have no responsibility. All these things, but when you get out of it, you will have developed skills in all of these different areas. Just apply yourself, and that first year is going to... If this is your first year quizzing, just know it's a big learning curve.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
It is. We're not going to downplay that. It's a tough hill to climb.
Just come have fun.
There you go.
Look at the trophies.
Have
Travel,
fun.
Meet
and
people.
Like Pastor said, if you learn 30 verses, you probably learn 30 more verses than most people in your church have learned this year.
Yeah.
So it's still a big deal. We're not encouraging quitting. Absolutely not. We're Bible quizzers, not Bible quitters. So we try to stick to the end, but sometimes just learning a little bit is better than not learning at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, anything else? All right. Well, we will see you guys. Thank you for joining us on our first podcast. Give us some feedback. Send it to info@apostolicbq.com, and we will be more than happy to talk about some of your ideas. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later. Bye.